Hello, everybody. Welcome back again today to our daily podcast. Pastor Tim Karskatten here at Christian Center Shreveport. Glad you've joined us as we're speaking this week about removing the enemy from our souls. Well, you came back. That's good. Glad to have you again today. We're doing a whole series this week about removing the enemy from the soulish realm where he's taken up residence, oppressed us, come against us, and the need for that. Yesterday, we ended talking about the covenant that we have through Christ and how in Galatians 3, we're told that we're joint heirs with Abraham through Christ Jesus. So that meant that we are tied to the Abrahamic covenant. And one of the blessings of that covenant was that God will curse those who cursed him. And in other words, he'll remove the enemies that are coming against Abraham. Well, we're joint heirs with that. So therefore, we have a promise from the Lord that the enemies that tried to come against us and try to come against our soul, that we have authority through an inheritance and through the justice of Christ that he died in order that we would get back what was lost. And he became an enemy to those that curse us. And the enemy is the greatest curser. He is the father of lies. He's the father of sin. And so he curses us, tells us we're not loved, we're not accepted, tells us we can't have what the kingdom says we can have, and we can't walk in what God said we can walk in. And we have a covenant that we can cry out to as we repent for our sins, that through those open doors that we allowed the enemy to come into our lives. And that's our personal responsibility. So to invoke this covenant, we have to repent. And so we left off there yesterday, and I want to get into the next covenant we see in Scripture. Now, I realize this is Old Testament, but we are still joint heirs with this. We'll get into the New Testament as we go further this week and maybe into next week. But we see the covenant that God made with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, if you want to call it that. And it was more than what we would think. We always think of the law and the rules and so forth. But let's not forget what God said to Moses. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we come under this blessing as well. But I guess the question is there a justice even in that system where God would cut off the enemy from there? And in Exodus 23, we see a story where God sends an angel. It's one of my favorite passages. I feel like sometimes I've seen this angel operate in the earth. But he said, I'm going to send an angel to keep you in the way and to bring you into a place that I prepared before, that I prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do what I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites. And he says, and then I will cut them off. So think about that. You know, if we have a greater covenant than Moses, which we do, and he was willing to cut off the enemy from Moses and the enemies of Israel, how much more is he going to do for us in the new covenant who have a greater covenant and that grace that God gave us? So I want you to embrace that truth that we are under a dispensation of the grace of God, so much so that when we repent and we cut off the enemy that has come into our soul through our access and our failures, but through this promise, God's justice comes into play and he removes the enemy. I'm trying to build you up today and to make you recognize that your prayers are powerful. As we say, as Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So these are mighty gifts that the Lord has given us. So he promised execution and removal of the enemies just like he did to Abraham. He did the same thing for Moses. So in Deuteronomy 30, he made a covenant with Israel, promising them land, right? A covenant of land. He said he'd guarantee them. And we see that it was prophesied through to Abraham, but he said, you know, in Deuteronomy 30, he says, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land in which you go and possess. So he's promised that he'll take the territories that, just like we read there in Exodus 23, where the enemy had access to land that was promised to the people of God, the Lord says, I'm going to let you go in and possess that land. Now think about that. God wants us to be sanctified, as Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, to be sanctified spirit, soul, and body. So he wants our whole being to be fully occupied and possessed by Jesus Christ. We know he has our spirit. We're possessed by him there. But in our soul, he doesn't have full possession. That's where the Perizzites and the Hittites and, you know, whatever you want to name the sins that you've allowed into your life, they're residing in a territory that belongs to the Lord. And we have got to cast them out. And how do we do it? By understanding the covenant that Jesus paid a price for, that we have authority through repentance and calling out and declaring that these guys got to go. And they've got to be removed from our soul so that we have a house that is fully ours in the possession of everything. This being that God created, this tabernacle that God gave us in the fleshly body, can be inhabited by the Lord in his fullness. What a blessing, you know, that when we face an enemy within our soul, we have a covenant that we can say, devil, you do not have a right there if I repent. And I've covered my sins, and I've asked God to remove that. You have to go. We're sending eviction notices is what we're doing to the enemy. You know, in Joshua 10, it says that God rained down hailstones on the enemy. And he killed more by hail than by the sword that Israel was in war with. So God was a greater victor in that than they were. He helped them fight their enemy. So they were going to fight the enemy with the sword, and that's a picture of us fighting the enemy with the word of God. But then God says, I'm going to partner with you, and I'm going to partner with you to help remove that. And in Exodus 23, you know, he says, I'm going to become an enemy to your enemies. And we have enemies, the enemy of our soul, the enemy, the devil and his demons, his cohorts. They are occupying territory that belongs to the Lord. And he died in a justice system that he can have all of us, spirit, soul, and body. And we've got to begin to believe that we have authority to deal with that and begin to cast those things out, to expel them, as Derek Prince says in his book. That's what we're believing for. But anyway, he destroys more of them than they did with their own hands. And so this is, this is where Joshua was encouraged by God. You know, he was, by what God was doing. Remember, he asked the prayer. He said, God, let the sun and the moon stand still for a day so we can utterly destroy our enemy. And, you know, you could just, it was basically saying, I always think when I look at that, like, Lord, you're going to take out more than I'm taking out. Just give us extra time to take out our enemy. I want you to get that kind of fortitude in your soul, in your spirit, man, to say, Lord, give me some time here. Let's while these guys are being chased out and removed, let's get them all. Make the sun stand still, make the moon stand still till these things are all gone. You know, and he was basically saying, God, you're going to take care of this. And the fact that he asked for longer to battle is the confidence that Joshua had. And I think that's something any military person will tell you. When you get your enemy on the run, that's the time to capitalize, not to take a break and celebrate that you won the field that day. Oh, wow, I took a little territory today. Let me rest and chill and take a relaxation time here. No, keep driving that enemy out. Go after it with all your heart. And so there's a covenant that he gave then, and he promised them a land, you know. And look at our leaders. Look at our political leaders around the world who don't understand this covenant, that God wants the land of Israel to be in the hands of the people of Israel. You know, we have these deals, land for peace and so forth. You know, it doesn't work. It will not work because you're going against the God of covenant. That's why I pray for my nation not to participate with such an endeavor. And if they do, I speak crop failure over it, because I don't want any success in that area of covenant, coming against the covenant of God. None. Because this God will curse those who curse Israel. And so I don't want my nation cursed. Whatever nation you're in, you know, I know many of you in South Africa, your country has stood with the other side of taking land away. So you guys down there, man, just stand up and say, no, we don't want that. We are in covenant with God, and we want justice, and we want God to do what he ever needs to do. I know that's a little side issue. I didn't want to get off on that, but I did. And I think it's just very important. It's a picture that we cannot stop pushing for this covenant, and not to say to God, your word is not true, and that we're going to make a decision on how something that should happen. And look, you know, sometimes I see Christians will do this as well. They'll just basically make a deal with the enemy. Look, if you'll leave me alone, I'll let you have that area of my heart. You know, just don't harass me. Let me prosper. Let me be okay, you know. And they make a deal, maybe not, you know, directly that way, but overtly they do it in their life. And that's where we got to say, no, devil, I don't want you to have any space in my soul. And anything that feeds your flesh that you don't want to give up, you know, last week we talked about the appetites, the things that we physically like in our life and we don't want to give up on them. No, let them go and begin to say, I want a clean house. I want to be pure, like 1 John 3 said. I want to be as refined as the Lord. I want to be as pure as God. That's the promise of the covenant of Jesus Christ. He demonstrated in the Old Testament. We're joint heirs with that through Christ Jesus. And so I speak to everybody here today, and I want you to say, we want a clean house, your soul and your body, to be as clean as the spirit realm that's within you. God can do it. He's already paid the price for it. You just need to apply it through your repentance and crying out to God for this breakthrough. All right. I'm believing for you guys. Have a good day. See you.